Imagine for a second that you are you're holding a winning lottery ticket.
Okay.
Like it's sitting right there in your pocket, right? Guaranteed money.
Sure.
But there is this massive catch. To actually cash that ticket in and, you know, see the benefit of it, you have to pack up all your belongings, sell your house, and literally move out of your neighborhood.
Yeah, which sounds like a totally bizarre hypothetical.
Right. But right now, as we head into, late June 2026, we're in the thick of the summer heat here in Texas neighborhood BBQs, getting ready for the 4th of July. Millions of homeowners in Parent County are holding that exact ticket.
They absolutely are. And it is called a 3% mortgage.
Exactly. And today, we are going to dive deep and decode why the greatest financial asset you currently own might actually be the exact thing trapping you in place.
Yeah, because it is really the defining economic paradox of our current decade. I mean, we have an entire class of homeowners who are simultaneously wealthier on paper than they've ever been.
Without a doubt.
Yet they feel completely paralyzed when it comes to making a basic life move. I mean, the math of giving up that 3% interest rate is so punishing that it is literally warping the fundamental mechanics of local real estate.
So, okay, let's unpack this. We're going to figure out exactly how that warping is happening, and we're going to put a laser focus on Tarrant County for this deep dive.
Sounds good.
We're looking at the macro and micro data from NTRES. And by the way, if you want to sound like a true local insider, you pronounce that NETRES.
Yeah, please don't spell it out.
Right. If you say NTREIS, they will look at you funny. Consider that your first insider tip of the day.
Free of charge.
Exactly. So we're pouring over their May and June 2026 market highlights. We've got the absolute latest mortgage rate data. And we have these incredible field notes from David Pete. He's a veteran agent with Pete Realty. You can find them at PeteRealty.com.
And his stuff is gold because his on-the-ground playbook really grounds all this high-level data into reality.
It does. It gives us the why behind the numbers, skipping all the jargon. So let's start with the weather map before we look at the backyard, you know. What did the broader Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex look like coming out of the spring?
Well, on a macro level, the whole DFW housing engine basically took a massive collective deep breath.
A deep breath, okay.
Yes. So the entry ice spring data showed new listings were down 2.4% across the whole region.
Okay.
And pending sales were effectively flat. I mean, they dropped just 0.1%. Overall inventory shrank by 2.8%. But, and this is the big one, the metric that flashed neon red for all the analysts was the median sales price.
Right. I saw this. It dipped.
It dipped 4.2%, down to $360,000.
I mean, a 4% drop across an entire major metropolitan area like DFW, that is not a small rounding error.
No, not at all.
That represents billions of dollars in lost aggregate equity. I'm trying to conceptualize why that's happening, because if I'm looking at the math of losing a 3% mortgage and taking on a modern rate of, say, 6.5%. Wait, let me actually calculate this out loud.
I run the numbers.
Okay, so if I have a $300,000 loan at 3%, my principal and interest is roughly, $1,260 a month?
Right around there, yeah.
Okay, so if I buy a new house, keeping the exact same loan amount of $300,000, but now it's at 6.5%, my payment jumps to nearly $1,900.
Yep.
That is an extra $640 every single month just for the privilege of borrowing the exact same amount of money.
And now, you know, multiply your realization there by hundreds of thousands of households.
You just
perfectly illustrated the rate lock phenomenon.
It's just wild.
It is. It's not just a catchy media phrase, right? It is a mathematical fortress. For a homeowner to willingly take on a $600 monthly penalty, the motivation to move has to be life-altering.
I call it a Mexican standoff. Buyers are waiting for prices to drop. Sellers are clinging to these cheap mortgages.
Then nobody wants to be the first one to blink.
Yeah.
Because a slightly bigger kitchen or, you know, extra bedroom just doesn't justify that cost. They're only going to move for a divorce, a major job relocation, or a death in the family.
Forced movement.
Exactly. Consequently, the traditional move-up buyer, you know, the family leaving their starter home to buy a larger one, they've just vanished from the ecosystem. They're choosing to renovate instead.
Which is crazy. But I read through David Pete's field notes, and he brought up something that honestly, it really made me scratch my head.
The geopolitical stuff.
Yes. He suggested that geopolitical tensions, specifically the ongoing on and off unrest in the Middle East, is actually contributing to this local paralysis.
It's a fascinating connection.
Hold on, though. You're telling me that a buyer sitting in Arlington, Texas, is backing out of a 3-bedroom ranch house because of a news headline from 6,000 miles away? I mean, that sounds like a massive stretch to me. How does a global conflict actually materialize in a suburban home sale?
Okay, so it materializes through the bond market, specifically through this mechanism called a flight to safety.
Flight to safety, okay.
Right, so when major geopolitical unrest flares up, global investors get really nervous. They pull their money out of risky assets like stocks or foreign investments, and they park it in the safest asset on the planet.
Which is United States Treasury bonds.
Exactly. Now, when demand for those bonds spikes, the yields or, you know, the interest rates those bonds pay out actually drop.
Okay, so wait, you would think lower bond yields would lead to lower mortgage rates, right? Giving buyers some relief?
You would think so.
Hmm.
But the geopolitical uncertainty also spikes inflation fears, particularly regarding global oil prices.
Hmm.
And when inflation fears rise, domestic lenders basically panic.
Yeah.
They widen the spread between the bond yield and the mortgage rate to protect themselves against future inflation.
So they pad the margins.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So that buyer in Arlington doesn't necessarily cancel their contract because they literally read a headline. They cancel it because the global uncertainty subtly forced their lender to keep their quoted interest rate at, say, an uncomfortable 6.8% instead of dropping it to 6.2%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the psychology of uncertainty trickles down into the literal math of lending.
You hit the nail on the head.
Okay, that makes the connection infinitely clearer. It's not about the buyer's personal politics. It's about how global anxiety dictates the cost of local capital.
Precisely.
So if the broader DFW market is seeing a 4% drop in median price due to all this friction, does that mean homeowners everywhere are losing equity? Or are there, like, geographic safe havens?
Well, this brings us right to Tarrant County.
Let's zoom in on the backyard.
Yeah, because Tarrant County is currently operating as one of those safe havens. But honestly, for reasons that are a bit alarming.
Why?
Because the May 2026 data shows a severe, highly localized supply squeeze. New listings in Tarrant County plummeted by 11.1% year over year.
Whoa, 11.1%.
Yeah, we went from 3,463 new listings in May of last year down to just 3,079 this year. And year to date, we're trailing last year by 2.5%.
Okay, so that's nearly 400 fewer homes entering the market in a single month. To put that in perspective for you listening, 400 homes is roughly the equivalent of like 10 entire suburban neighborhood streets just vanishing from the map.
This is massive.
If you are a buyer logging onto Zillow on a Friday morning hoping to tour homes this weekend, your options have been drastically hollowed out.
Right. And that hollowing out is exactly why Tarrant County prices are not dropping like the rest of the DFW area.
Interesting.
The median price here is holding flat to slightly positive for single family homes. To understand the mechanics of this, you really have to look at how artificial scarcity props up asset values.
You know, here's where it gets really interesting to me. I look at the Tarrant County homeowners almost like a diamond cartel right now.
A diamond cartel. I like that.
Think about it. If a cartel mines millions of diamonds, they don't dump them all into the jewelry stores at once, right? Because flooding the market would crash the price.
Obviously, yeah.
They deliberately hold back the supply in massive underground vaults to create artificial scarcity. That ensures the few diamonds that do hit the market command a premium price. Tarrant County homeowners are basically acting as an accidental cartel.
That's a phenomenal analogy.
By refusing to give up their 3% mortgages, they have locked their homes in the vault. They're restricting the supply so severely that the few sellers who do decide to list their homes are protected from any significant price drops.
It perfectly captures the localized market protection we're seeing. The sellers aren't colluding in some dark, smoke-filled room, but the mathematical outcome is identical to a cartel's strategy.
It's just wild.
It is. The buyer pool has shrunk because of high interest rates, yes, but the supply of homes has shrunk even faster. That imbalance is the only thing keeping the floor from falling out underneath Tarrant County home values.
I want to touch on a really bizarre quirk in the Tarrant data, too, because I think it highlights just how constrained this county is territorially.
Oh, the farm data.
Yes. In the May entries report, there were absolutely zero farm and ranch closings. None. Zero.
Right.
But the land segment saw 34 closed transactions, which was actually up 6%, averaging almost $300,000 per deal.
Yeah, $299,224 to be exact.
Walk us through why a county in Texas has zero farms selling, but a booming land market. I mean, Texas is known for ranches.
Well, it really comes down to zoning, development history, and classification. You have to remember, Tarrant County is essentially built out.
Right.
It is the urban core of Fort Worth, surrounded by really dense, fully realized suburban sprawl.
Wow.
You know, Arlington, Hearst, Euless, Bedford, Keller.
Yeah, there's a lot of concrete.
Exactly.
Oh.
The massive contiguous tracts of agricultural land required to run a working farm or a cattle ranch simply don't exist here in sellable quantities anymore. Those have been pushed way out to the exurban rings in Parker, Wise, or Johnson counties.
Okay, so what exactly are people buying when they purchase land in Tarrant County for $300,000?
They're buying transitional acreage.
Meaning what?
Meaning they're buying a 2-acre or 5-acre tear-down lot in South Lake or Colleyville to build a massive custom estate. Or small to mid-sized home builders are buying leftover parcels of undeveloped brush to carve out small infill subdivisions.
Oh.
It's classified as land rather than a farm because its highest and best use is residential development, not agriculture. The fact that raw dirt is trading at a premium while farms are non-existent tells you that Tarrant County is just starved for physical space. Every square inch is being optimized for housing.
So if supply is artificially constrained like a diamond cartel and physical land is tapped out, what is the invisible hand dictating the buyer's behavior right now? I mean, it has to be the cost of the money itself.
Absolutely. The cost of capital is the master switch for the entire economy.
Let's look at the absolute latest mortgage data as of late June 2026. After a volatile couple of years and a really grueling spring, we're seeing some movement.
We are finally seeing a sliver of relief. The conventional 30-year fixed rate has eased down to 6.52% from the highs we saw in late May.
Okay.
And crucially, the 15-year fixed rate is averaging 5.89%, which means it officially dipped back below the psychological barrier of 6%.
Right. And you hear the term 10-year treasury yield thrown around constantly on financial news when they talk about these mortgage rates.
All the time.
Our sources actually mention it is acting as a concrete floor, keeping rates from dropping further.
Yes.
Explain this to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Why does a 10-year government bond have anything to do with a 30-year home loan in Fort Worth?
It is probably the most vital mechanism for a home buyer to understand. Let's break it down. When a bank lends you money for 30 years to buy a house, they rarely keep that loan on their own books.
Right. They sell it.
Exactly. They bundle it with thousands of other mortgages and sell it to Wall Street investors as a mortgage-backed security. Now, put yourself in the shoes of a Wall Street investor.
Okay. I have a massive pile of cash.
You have a massive pile of cash.
Yeah.
And you want a safe, reliable return.
Yeah.
You are looking at two main options, right? You can buy a United States Treasury bond, which is guaranteed by the federal government, or you can buy a bundle of American mortgages.
Okay. And since the government bond is technically safer because, you know, the U.S. government can print money to pay its debts, whereas a homeowner can just default, the mortgage bundle has to offer a higher interest rate to convince the investor to take on that extra risk.
Precisely. That's the premium for the risk.
Okay. But why the 10-year treasury specifically instead of the 30-year? I mean, it's a 30-year mortgage.
That's a great question. Because historically, the average American homeowner either sells their house or refinances their mortgage every 7 to 10 years.
Oh, right.
So even though it's a 30-year loan on paper, the investor assumes they'll be paid back in about 10 years. Therefore, Wall Street treats the 10-year treasury bond and the 30-year mortgage as direct competing substitute goods.
That makes so much sense.
Right now, the 10-year treasury yield is hovering stubbornly above 4%. Investors are getting a guaranteed risk-free return of over 4% from the government. To convince them to buy a slightly riskier mortgage bundle instead, banks have to offer them a yield that is roughly 2 to 2.5 percentage points higher.
So 4% plus 2.5% gives you our current mortgage rate of around 6.5%.
Exactly. Until the 10-year treasury yield drops, mortgage rates mathematically cannot come down. The floor is set by the bond market.
That is a brilliant breakdown. So when the Federal Reserve raises or lowers their baseline rates to fight inflation, they are indirectly manipulating that treasury yield, which then trickles down to the buyer's monthly payment.
You've got it.
Speaking of the buyer's reality, let's talk about the FHA loan programs, because the data shows FHA 30-year rates sitting at a very attractive 6.25%.
On paper, yes.
But the all-in APR, the annual percentage rate, is almost 7%. It's sitting at 6.95%. Walk us through that massive discrepancy. Why is the true cost so much higher?
This is where first-time homebuyers often get blindsided, honestly.
Yeah.
FHA loans are backed by the Federal Housing Administration. They exist specifically to help people buy homes with very low down payments, sometimes as low as 3.5%.
Right.
Because these buyers have very little of their own equity at stake, they are statistically much higher risks for defaulting on the loan. So to mitigate that risk, the FHA utilizes a concept called risk pooling.
Meaning everyone pays a little bit into a giant pot, and if one person defaults, the pot covers the bank's loss.
Exactly. And that contribution to the pot is called a mortgage insurance premium, or MIP.
Oh.
With a conventional loan, if you put 20% down, you don't pay any mortgage insurance. But with an FHA loan, you pay an upfront premium at closing, and then you pay an ongoing monthly premium for the life of the loan.
Ouch.
Yeah. When you take the advertised interest rate of 6.25% and mathematically add in the mandatory costs of those insurance premiums over a year, the true cost of borrowing that money, the APR, jumps to 6.95%. The headline rate is a marketing tool. The APR is your financial reality.
And analysts, including the folks at the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center, they're forecasting that rates will gradually ease down into the 5.0 to 5.6% range by late 2026.
Yes, that's the current projection.
Which leads to probably the most pervasive psychology in the market right now, the wait for 5% strategy. I hear buyers say this constantly. I'm just going to rent for 6 more months until rates hit 5% and then I'll buy.
It is an incredibly dangerous strategy. Honestly, it's born from a fundamental misunderstanding of market dynamics.
Well, let's address the fear of buying right now, because I think it's valid. You feel like you're buying at the absolute top of the market with punishing rates. But if you wait for rates to drop, aren't you just stepping into a massive trap?
You really are.
Think about it like an exclusive summer concert, right?
Yeah.
Where tickets are currently $100, but there's this rumor the venue might drop the price to $80 next week.
Okay, I thought.
Right now, there's a short line at the box office. You could walk up, pay the $100, pick your exact perfect seat, and go home happy. But you decide to wait for the $80 price drop. What you don't realize is that thousands of other fans are waiting in the parking lot doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
The second the venue announces the $80 price, the floodgates open. The parking lot empties into a chaotic, violent stampede toward the box office. Not only did the tickets sell out instantly, but scalpers buy them up and immediately relist them for $200. You waited to save $20 and it ended up costing you double, or you just missed the concert entirely.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the exact mathematical reality of the Tarrant County housing market.
It has to be.
If rates hit 5%, the millions of buyers currently engaging in that rate lock Mexican standoff will simultaneously rush back into the market. Demand will go from a steady trickle to a raging flood literally overnight.
And we already know supply is constrained.
Right. Because we established that supply is artificially constrained like a diamond cartel down 11.1%, that explosion of demand will aggressively drive up the principal price of the homes.
So you wait 6 months to secure a 5.5% mortgage rate. But the $350,000 house you were looking at just received 12 offers and sold for $400,000.
Exactly.
You secured cheaper money, but you had to borrow significantly more of it to win the bidding war. The math completely negates your strategy, and you've lost the ability to negotiate.
You've lost all your leverage.
Which brings us perfectly to the concept of affordability. When that demand floods back, who actually gets a seat at the table?
Well, affordability is really the ultimate stress test of a local economy. In Tarrant County, the median single-family home price is currently $355,000. And our source material points to the region's Housing Affordability Index, which for May 2026 sits at 92.
Okay, explain the math behind that index number. What does a 92 actually represent for a family sitting at their kitchen table looking at their budget?
The index is a ratio. It compares the median household income to the income strictly required to qualify for a median-priced home, assuming a 20% down payment and standard debt-to-income limits.
Okay.
An index score of exactly 100 is pure equilibrium. It means the family earning the median income has exactly, to the penny, the required income to buy the median home.
Okay, so if the index is at 92, affordability is below equilibrium. the median earner cannot comfortably afford the median home.
Correct. They are mathematically falling about 8% short of the required income. They are right on the edge of being priced out.
Wow.
So to bridge that 8% gap, the buyer has to do something painful. They either have to completely wipe out their savings to bring a massive down payment, they have to pay off their car loans to lower their debt-to-income ratio, or they have to stretch their monthly budget dangerously thin.
Pushing themselves toward being a house poor.
Exactly. But the data notes that 92 is actually an improvement.
For real?
Yeah, I was sitting at 90 last year. So it's painful, but the tourniquet is loosening slightly.
How does this compare to our immediate neighbors? Like, what does the Dallas side of the Metroplex look like?
The broader Dallas area saw a much sharper year-over-year price correction. They dropped 4.1%.
Mm.
Because their prices fell harder and faster, their affordability index mathematically improved more than Terrence.
Makes sense.
The cost of entry became slightly more favorable there. But the source material describes Tarrant County's situation as a tale of compression and resilience. Tarrant isn't breaking. Despite the affordability index sitting at 92, the county's housing market remains incredibly robust.
I have to ask the obvious question then. If the median earner is mathematically struggling to afford the median home, how are thousands of homes still successfully closing every month? Are we just looking at an entire county of residents quietly drowning in debt?
Not necessarily. You have to look past the macro county index and dive into the neighborhood micro data.
Okay, give me an example.
Let's look at Fort Worth proper. In March 2026, there were 922 closed sales. The median price for those specific transactions was $331,600. That is roughly $23,000 cheaper than the countywide median.
So buyers aren't just universally drowning in debt. They are getting highly strategic.
Very strategic.
They're abandoning the idea of the perfectly updated house in the premium zip code, and they are hunting for pockets of affordability, targeting specific neighborhoods, maybe older builds, or properties that need minor cosmetic work to force the math to work in their favor.
Exactly. And the health indicators of those specific sales are remarkably stable. Across Tarrant County, homes are sitting on the market for an average of 45 days.
45 days.
That is a glorious number for a functioning real estate market.
Why is 45 days glorious? I feel like people want their house sold in a weekend.
Because 45 days represent sanity.
Right.
During the pandemic boom, homes were selling in 48 hours. Buyers were waiving their right to an inspection. They were signing away their financial protections just to win a bid. It was chaos.
Sure, chaos.
At 45 days, a buyer can tour a home on a Saturday, go have lunch, sleep on the decision, make an offer on Monday, and actually hire an inspector to make sure the roof isn't caving in.
What a novel concept.
Right. It allows for due diligence. Furthermore, the data shows sellers are still receiving 96% of their list price on average.
Which means the market hasn't collapsed into a desperate fire sale. It is balanced. Sellers are getting fair value and buyers have time to breathe.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? We've dissected the mechanics of the rate lock, the artificial supply constraints, the treasury yields, the affordability index. But all this data is just, you know, academic theory unless we apply it. Let's open up the Pete Realty playbook and translate this into actionable strategy for you listening. Let's start with the sellers. If you are prepping your house in Keller or Hearst to list this summer, what is David Pete's absolute first mandate?
The mandate is urgency regarding preparation. The specific advice is that the dam will break eventually. The rate lock cannot suppress human life events forever. His advice is to get the property ready to show now, even if the market feels slightly sluggish.
Why the urgency, though? If I'm a seller, and I know rates might drop in 6 months and bring a flood of buyers, why wouldn't I just wait for the flood?
Because if you wait for the headlines to announce that rates have dropped to 5%,
mm-hmm.
you won't be the only one listing your house. Every other homeowner who has been trapped in the rate lock for 3 years will put a sign in their yard on the exact same day.
Oh, man.
You will go from competing against two other houses in your neighborhood to competing against 15. You want to list before the dam breaks? While the supply of homes is still down 11.1%, utilizing that artificial scarcity to your advantage.
That is a masterclass in market timing. Mm. But there is a massive psychological hurdle for sellers right now. And I think this firsthand. I have a neighbor down the street who put his house on the market 6 months ago.
Okay.
He priced it based on what homes were selling for at the absolute peak of the 2022 frenzy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The house has been sitting empty. The for sale sign is literally rotting in the sun, leaning over in the grass. He refuses to drop the price because he feels like he is losing $40,000 of equity that his other neighbor got 3 years ago.
Well, your neighbor is a textbook victim of the endowment effect, combined with a total failure to read the current economic climate.
Endowment effect.
Yeah, in behavioral economics, the endowment effect dictates that we value an asset more highly simply because we own it. Homes are emotional strongholds, you know. We assign monetary value to our memories.
We really do.
But David Peet's playbook offers a severe warning against this. Price. Precisely. The days of aspirational pricing are dead.
Because the buyer's math simply won't allow for it anymore.
Exactly. When interest rates were at 3%, a buyer could easily absorb an extra 30 grand on the purchase price because it only added maybe 100 bucks to their monthly payment.
Right, it was cheap money.
Today, at 6.52%, an overpriced home is mathematically repulsive to a buyer whose affordability index is already stretched to 92.
Mm.
If you price precisely based on June 2026 comparable sales, you will sell in 45 days and get your 96%.
Okay, if you don't.
If you price based on 2022 ego, you will sit on the market for 6 months, the listing will grow stale, buyers will assume something is physically wrong with the house, and you will eventually have to drop the price below market value just to get them to look at it again.
Wow. David Peet also heavily emphasizes doing an ROI analysis, a return on investment analysis, before making home improvements, which makes sense. You don't want to spend $40,000 gutting and modernizing a master bathroom if the current buyer pool is so rate fatigued that they will only pay you $10,000 extra for the house. You just burn 30 grand of your own equity.
Spot on. In a constrained market, buyers prioritize structural integrity and price over luxury finishes.
Mm-hmm.
A functional, slightly dated home priced accurately will move faster than a luxury renovated home priced outside the neighborhood's affordability threshold.
Okay, let's flip the script. What is the playbook for the buyer who is terrified of that 6.52% interest rate, but needs to secure a home before the wait for 5% crowd floods the market?
The strategy is to leverage the current 45-day market pause to extract concessions from the seller.
Okay.
You do not wait for the Federal Reserve to fix the economy for you. You negotiate a localized fix on the specific house you are buying. You utilize a seller concession to secure a rate buydown.
Walk me through the exact math of a rate buydown, specifically the popular 2-1 buydown, like I'm completely new to finance. Let's use our Tarrant County median home price of $355,000.
Okay, let's run the exact numbers. You're buying a $355,000 house. You put 20% down, which is $71,000.
Okay, so that leaves a loan amount of $284,000.
Right. At today's prevailing rate of roughly 6.52%, your principal and interest payment is going to be about $1,800 a month, right, is your baseline. Now, your agent approaches the seller and says, we will pay your full asking price, but you, the seller, need to contribute a chunk of your equity at closing to fund a 2-1 buydown for my buyer.
Wait, what does that chunk of cash actually do?
It temporarily subsidizes the buyer's interest rate for the first 2 years of the loan.
Okay.
In year one, the interest rate is bought down by 2 full percentage points. Dropping from 6.52% to 4.52%.
That's huge.
It is. At 4.52%, that monthly payment drops from $1,800 down to roughly $1,440. That is a savings of $360 every single month for the first 12 months.
Wow. And year two?
In year two, the rate is bought down by 1 percentage point, sitting at 5.52%. The payment goes up slightly to around $1,615, which still saves the buyer about $185 a month.
Okay, and then year three?
By year three, the rate returns to the permanent 6.52%.
So the buyer gets immediate massive relief on their monthly budget for the first 24 months. And the cash to fund those savings, which totals roughly what, $6,500 over the 2 years, was paid by the seller out of the proceeds of the sale.
Precisely. The seller gets to keep their high listing price, which protects the neighborhood's comparable sales data. But the buyer gets a hyper-affordable monthly payment for 2 years.
That is smart.
And the strategic bet the buyer is making is that within those first 2 years, the macroeconomy will cool, the 10-year treasury yield will drop, and they can permanently refinance the loan into a fixed 5% rate before year three ever hits.
That is a phenomenal strategy. It solves the affordability equation today. It gets you the house before the stampede of delayed buyers returns, and it protects your capital. It treats the house as a financial instrument to be optimized, not just a building. And I think that's the hardest mindset shift for anyone listening right now. When you step out your front door this week, I challenge you to look back at your house and stop seeing it as a museum of your family's memories. When it comes time to sign a contract, it is an asset in a shifting economic landscape.
It requires a profound emotional detachment to succeed in this specific market.
Yeah.
Tarrant County in the summer of 2026 heavily rewards meticulous mathematical preparation, and it severely penalizes emotional, unrealistic expectations.
Let's review the landscape we've charted today. We've seen that while the broader DFW market is experiencing price softening, Tarrant County is operating as a fortified microclimate. The rate lock phenomenon has turned homeowners into an accidental diamond cartel, restricting supply by over 11% and acting as a hard floor for home values. We explored how the 10-year treasury yield on Wall Street dictates the 6.52% mortgage rate on Main Street, and how the true cost of an FHA loan climbs near 7% once you factor in the necessary risk pooling insurance premiums.
Which is brutal.
We broke down the affordability index, recognizing that while the median earner is technically stretched to the limit at a 92 index score, strategic buyers are finding robust success in slightly cheaper micro markets like Fort Worth proper. And finally, we opened the Pete Realty playbook to reveal that precise pricing for sellers and strategic rate buy-downs for buyers are the only ways to successfully navigate this 45-day balanced market.
It is a market that demands you understand the why behind the numbers, rather than just reacting to the what in the headlines.
But you know, this deep dive wouldn't be complete without looking over the horizon. You mentioned an idea earlier that I haven't been able to stop thinking about regarding the long-term unintended consequences of this massive rate lock.
Yeah, it's a paradigm shift that could fundamentally alter the fabric of American suburbs, starting right here in Tarrant County.
Let's hear it.
Well, we know that millions of homeowners are fiercely protecting their 3% mortgages. But we also know that eventually the dam breaks. Life forces movement. A couple has twins and needs an extra bedroom, or someone gets a major promotion in another state. When those life events dictate that a homeowner must move over the next 5 to 10 years, they face a massive financial dilemma.
Because if they sell the house, they surrender that historically cheap 3% money back to the bank forever.
Exactly. So this raises an important question. What if they simply choose not to sell?
Wait, what do you mean?
What if, instead of putting their starter home in Arlington on the market, they decide to rent it out? The monthly rent they collect will easily cover their incredibly low 3% mortgage payment, likely generating significant positive cash flow.
Oh, wow.
They keep the asset, they keep the historically cheap debt, and they use the rental income to subsidize the purchase of their next house.
You are talking about the accidental creation of millions of amateur landlords.
Precisely. Could the rate lock phenomenon inadvertently turn an entire generation of everyday Tarrant County homeowners into a massive class of accidental real estate investors?
That is wild.
And if it does, what are the macroeconomic consequences of permanently removing huge swaths of single-family starter homes from the purchase market? If all the affordable three-bedroom starter homes in Hearst and Keller become permanent rental properties held by the previous generation, how does the next generation of first-time homebuyers ever build equity?
They wouldn't be able to.
It could permanently transition our neighborhoods from communities of localized ownership into communities of perpetual tenancy.
That is a staggering implication. An entire generation hoarding starter home inventory simply to protect the cost of their capital, inadvertently pulling the ladder up behind them for the next wave of buyers. That completely changes how we view neighborhood cohesion, property tax assessments, and local school district funding over the next decade.
It's definitely something to watch.
I am going to enthusiastically leave you, the listener, to ponder that exact scenario while you're out by the grill this week, getting ready for the 4th of July fireworks. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the North Texas real estate market. We hope we brought some clarity to the heat. Keep asking the hard questions, keep looking past the headlines, and keep learning.